We're going to be in Mark 6 if you want to go ahead and turn there. I just wanted to take a moment to thank you if you did come out, if you got a chance to. I know sometimes that's not always the case. Whether you sponsored a box or whether you came out and labored, thank you. Thank you for caring about the Word of God and trying to get it to the hands of somebody else. Sometimes we think we can't do a bunch of things, and Lord, I can't go, or I can't go to the field, or I don't have a bunch of skills, or I'm not, you know, the best of speakers, or I don't want to be up front, or you didn't call me up front, maybe. And you feel like sometimes you can't do things in your church. Well, that's not true. See, that we proved it this week. You can be a part of it. You know, and Pastor and I were talking, he was talking about, and I was thinking about this Sunday when you were preaching, and you'd mentioned about the Great Commission. And I thought, man, where does the Great Commission start? It starts in Jerusalem. This is your Jerusalem. This is your Jerusalem. That's awesome. That's awesome to think about. We put together the Word of God, and somebody's going to get it for the first time. They're going to get a chance to know Jesus. And a lot of places they don't get to. And these are Bibles are going, hopefully, Lord willing, down to Mexico, I think. I don't always know exactly where. Sometimes I don't need to know. And it's just somebody's going to get a chance that they didn't get a chance. And anyways, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you guys for coming out and doing that. It's always very special to me to go around to different churches, and I love coming and seeing y'all and putting Bibles together with you. And sometimes it's, you know, I'm a little stressed out in the beginning, like, I don't know, you know, but you guys did great, you know. And we finished on time, we finished early, and then afterwards I'm like, why was I worried? You know, but I always want to do it, I want to finish, and I want it to be great, and I want you guys to love it and enjoy it, you know, and I want you to come. If you never get the chance to come do it, you always should, and even if you show up for an hour, praise the Lord, come on. You know, fold some covers and, you know, let those little ones see that too, it'd be great. So this evening we're going to be in Mark chapter 6. I just wanted to share a couple things with you that the Lord has shared with me. And sometimes it's we're going to start in verse 30, and then we'll read down through verse 44, and at the end I'll make my prayer. Let's go ahead and start there. So Mark 6, verse 30, and the Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening, Lord, gathered together in your house to hear your word preached, Lord, and to learn and to grow from it. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to live in a country where we can still do that freely. Help us, Lord, to get the word to those in places where they can't. Help us, Lord, to be the instruments that you would have us to be. Open our hearts and our minds of understanding. Help us to grow and to do the labor that you would call us to do, Lord, no matter how big or how small. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is always an interesting piece of scripture. It's fun to me. We know this story. We've seen it before, probably read it before many times. But it's always interesting to me as I read the word, how many times sometimes that I'll read it and think I've read something 5, 10, 16 times, whatever. And then the Lord will be like, yeah, but did you see this? And then I'll be like, ooh, I didn't see that, you know. So it's exciting to me. But when we're studying scriptures, I was telling them today in chapel, we need to look before and the after of the context. So if I look at this piece of scripture here in particular, I can look back to verses 29 through really verse 14. And it's the account of the death of John the Baptist. Now, the reason that I do that is because in verse 30, where it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, told him all things about what they had done and what they had taught, my immediate question is, well, what did you do and what did you teach? What are you talking about? I want to understand. So I go back there, and it's not really that portion of scripture from the 14 to the 29 is really not about that. It may have been in the last verse where they took and do what they did with the body of John the Baptist. But so I need to go back a little bit farther, and I want to understand that context. And really, I can go back to verse 7. And in verse 7, it says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, be shod with sandals, not put on two coats. And he said to them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. This tells me what they were doing. It tells me what they taught. I want to know that. You say, why, Brian? Well, we'll get to that. So it tells me what they're doing before. They're busy. They didn't take anything with them. They didn't take any of the stuff. Jesus literally told them to do that. They're out. They're teaching. They're healing. They're busy. They're working. Okay. Well, what about afterwards? Right? We ended in verse 44. I find in verse 45, what does it say? And straightway he constrains his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain and prayed. This is Jesus. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Again, Jesus is alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh upon them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them. What do I find that's happening beforehand? I find out the disciples are very busy. They're out. They're preaching. They're going door to door. They didn't take anything with them. They're healing people. They're doing those things. And what do I find out right afterwards? Guess what? They're busy. Straightway, you get in the boat. Straightway, you're toiling across the sea. They've been at it all night. It's a storm. It's hard. They're busy. Why does that matter? Because of what he said in verse 31. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. See, this really... it sticks with me because I've been in that situation. Sometimes the Lord might call you to a time of rest. For me in particular, I'll give you an example. I was getting ready to try to go to college, and I wanted to go to college, and I was talking to the Lord, and I said, listen, you open the door, you go, I'll work full-time, I'll go. I was taking some classes at night, like two a semester, and I'm like, this is going to take forever. So I'm like, this is not going to work, Lord. I need to get in college, and I need to be able to do that, and I'll go to work full-time, and I'll do that. But you got to have me the money because I don't have it, and you got to open the door. So I found out when I was working at the job that I had, I got a new job. And the job that I had at the time, I had 7 different projects in 5 days. That means I couldn't get 8 hours on a project. I was busy. Every time I got on something, I'm scrambling. I'm laboring. I'm doing this. So I start the new job. Praise the Lord. He gave me a new job. I get to the new job. And the new job, this is at IT. You start a new place. We're taking over a contract. You have to go through this wonderful time of getting access to everything. So we were coming in 7 in the morning. We're meeting in this little hall. We're trying to go over every little account, get access. How do you do it? We're having a nice powwow. Things are going well. About 2 weeks into this job, we would have a 9 a.m. meeting where we would talk to the people who owned the account that we were taking over. And then about 2 weeks in, our boss says, listen, you guys have put in all your stuff. You're just waiting for the company to get back to you because it takes time. It's never fast. He says, why don't you guys just come in at 9 at the 9 a.m. meeting? And I'm like, yeah, good. We get 2 hours. I can get some rest. This is great. About 2 weeks later, we're going through. We're meeting every day with the company. We're still waiting on stuff to get done. And in the afternoons, we have nothing to do. And my boss says, why don't you guys go home at noon? And I was like, I'm coming in at 9, and I'm leaving at noon. I'm still getting paid, right? On salary, I was still getting paid. And this is great. So I had a job. I came in at 9. I got to work for a couple hours. I went home at noon. This is fantastic. Here's what I didn't know. The Lord had plans. I got into college. What I didn't know was for the next 3 years, I would work 17 to 20 hour days. I'd get up at 6 a.m. so I could get on the Joy of Ohio's highways that are overly packed at 7 a.m. so I could make it to class by 8, go from 8 till noon, get off at noon, get lunch by 1 o'clock, be done with eating lunch, catch a 55-minute nap so I could get up at 1:55 so I could be at work at 2, turn my brain onto IT, do 2 to 10:30, turn my brain off of IT at 10:30 till 2 o'clock in the morning. I would do homework. I'd go to bed, and at 6 a.m. I'd do it all over again for 3 years. For 5 days a week, and on Saturdays I did homework. And people were like, don't you want to come out on Sunday? No, I want to sleep. You might find yourself in a time of rest. God might know what's coming. The disciples were busy. They didn't know what was going to come after that. Don't stay in the time of rest. But when God says rest, you might want to listen. So this rings true to me. I thought, okay, that's great. But here's the thing that stuck out to me, one of the things. He says, come apart yourselves into a desert place and rest a while. And then what happens? It doesn't really tell me at any point in the scripture, and they rested. The disciples rested. It doesn't say that. Now, I know if Jesus says it, it's going to happen. So now my brain immediately wants to go, well, when did that happen? Because now I want to know. I want to know these things. So I watched going down through there, and I watched what happens. And then when you get down, and it shows us that Jesus is teaching the people for a while when he comes out. And if you were in chapel today, when I said he was moved with compassion, boy, that ought to ring to you. I hope it does. And it tells me in verse 35, it says, when the day was now far spent. Do you ever pay attention to the way that they word things? When the day was far spent, what does that tell me? Now tell me there was a passage of time that Jesus was teaching. Even the disciples come to him in that same verse and they say, this is a desert place and now time is far past. Meaning they had been there for a while. I find an opportunity of where the disciples may have had an opportunity to sit down and rest and eat. Because I'm going to ask myself, the entire time Jesus is teaching, what are the disciples doing? They're probably sitting there and resting. I thought that's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting. But then something happened that I noticed, and it happened in verse 36, or at verse 35, really. What happens? The disciples come unto him and said unto him, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Verse 36, send them away, talking about the multitude, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves their bread, for they have nothing to eat. Isn't that interesting? The disciples' problem in the beginning was what? They didn't have any time so much as to eat. Yet now we're talking about a multitude that doesn't have any time to eat. Or anything to eat. Now I thought to myself, I would love to believe that the disciples thought of somebody else before themselves. But I am human, and I love you guys, but if I get hungry, I hate to tell you, it's probably going to be on my mind first, you know? I'm hungry. I should get something to eat. It's more likely that they probably ate and thought, man, that was really good. We were at it a long time. I'm hungry. And then it occurred to them, you know what? Those people have been here a while too. I wonder when's the last time they've eaten. How long has it been? They've been here a while. And they started thinking about something, about other people, and they saw a need. And then I thought about this, you know. Then I thought, oh, that's interesting. And what happens? Jesus answered them and said unto them, right, give ye them to eat. Now, it's just really interesting to me that that happened because of this. Parents, this will ring true with you. What happens when you have little kids and you're trying to help them grow and you're teaching them and they come home from school and no matter how many times you tell you, they come in the door and they throw the book bag in the floor and the coat in the floor and the shoes off and they're running around having a great time. And you're like, that doesn't go there, pick that up, put that over here. And in the back of your brain somewhere you're going, is there going to come a day when I don't have to say any of this and it'll just register automatically? You're hoping that they'll mature to that. You're hoping that they'll grow up to that. When you're a leader and you're running any kind of business or you're in charge of people, you don't want them to just ever do what you tell them to do. That's what you told me to do. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. You're hoping that they're going to mature, that they're going to own something at some point to where they'll now make it theirs. Well, I find out this is very interesting to me because Jesus didn't go to the disciples and say, you need to feed them. The disciples came to him. And I thought, man, that's interesting. That's a moment of growth. Jesus didn't have to tell them somebody else has a need. They saw it. And they said, you know what? We should take care of that. Now, again, their solution probably is, do you have enough food? No. I can't feed 5,000 people. Let's do this. Let's send them away. That's not a bad idea. But it's not what Jesus told them to do. What's he tell them? He says to them, no. You give them to eat. This is what I want you to do. And then they say, what is their reply? And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, it's a great stab in the dark. I don't know what 200 penny worth of bread is worth. Maybe that was a good amount. Maybe that was like, this ain't even come close. But I find the disciples were willing to take a shot. You know what I don't find there? I don't find any record of resistance. I don't find any record of we can't do it. I don't find any record of doubt. I don't even find a teenage angsty sigh. There's not there. It's nothing there. There's no doubt. Thomas didn't even pipe up, we can't. You know, there's no doubter in there. They literally just said, okay, and let me try to solve the problem. Let's take a guess at it. I find that there's maturity happening in the disciples. They're growing. And Jesus is telling them, okay, good. Now let's go a little farther. Why don't you come with me now? You solve the problem. Now for me, this also rings true. Two pastors ago back in Milford, Dr. Keene, who was the pastor before Pastor Dutry and before Pastor Barclay, Dr. Keene has a saying, and his saying is, a need seen is an assignment given. And I didn't like that saying because at the particular time that he told it to me, I was telling him, I didn't grow up in church. You guys should put the Pledge of Allegiance on the screen. And, you know, we took the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag. I didn't grow up in church. I don't even know what that is. And how to say this? He got about 2 weeks later, they were like, Brian, we need some help in the slides. You want to come help us? You're an IT guy. And I thought, I don't know if I want to do that. That means I have to be here. That means I have to show up. That means people are depending on me. There's a growth part there. God wanted me to own a little bit of my church. Okay. God was stretching me. I want you to show up. I want you to care. I find that God is stretching the disciples. And they say unto him, right, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? What's his reply? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Which tells me he knew they didn't know. I know they didn't know because the Bible says, and when they knew, guess what? You didn't know. Jesus knew. Jesus was telling them something else there too. How many loaves have ye? Go and see. Well, should we do this? Guess what? When I want you to work in ministry, there's some certain things to do. When you're in charge of some certain things, maybe while you're growing up, one of the first things you could do when you go to solve a problem is figure out what you already have. That's a great place to start. You say, well, why is he teaching that? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus knows everything that's happened after, and he knows everything that's going to happen before. And I got to tell you, the book of the Acts of the Apostles is coming, and Jesus knows he's not going to be there. So guess what, disciples? It's time to grow up. You're going to have to get prepared, and I'm trying to teach you, because there's going to come a time when I'm not here, and I'm going to send you out, and you better start figuring out how to figure this stuff out. I'm going to help you. You're going to need it. I find another good response there. And when they knew, verse 38, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Now here's the thing. What Jesus tell them? How many loaves have ye? He didn't say anything about fish. I find out they didn't just go back and go, we got 5 loaves. We got 2 fishes. That's not what Jesus said. They're figuring it out. Hey, you know what? We can use that too. Bring that too. It doesn't matter. To them, it's still not going to feed 5,000 people, but they brought it. That's what you got. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So I find out, guess what? They identified the needs of the multitude. I find out that Jesus is trying to grow them. I find out Jesus asks them what they already have. And then what does he do? Verse 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down by the companies upon the green grass. Now this stuck out to me. I don't know what kind of desert place that you've been to or you were imagining, but green grass wasn't on my list. I thought, well, maybe that's all there was there. There's no trees, there's no just green grass, and this is why it's a desert place. Okay, that's what you say. All right, fair enough. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. I've been a production manager. I've been in charge of assembly lines. Everything in my production manager experience manufacturing brain says that is not how you do that. What you do is you have 12 disciples and you just line them up in a nice little row, 12 guys. And to all these people, there's 5,400 of you got Judas, 400 of you got John, you got Matthew, you got this person, line them up, you get your plate, you go back to your seat. Okay, let's go, guys. 1, 2, 3, come on. Let's make it happen. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus has a different way. He's making the disciples run back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I thought to myself, I wonder what those disciples are thinking. They're running back and forth at those plates, right? Has he got a fish yet? I don't know. What loaf is he on? You know what I mean? He's still on loaf 3. We're not even on fish number 2. How is this happening? And they're back and forth. And I know they're talking because I know how they are. They ask each other, who's the greatest? So I know they're still like the rest of us. They want to know sometimes. But whose faith got grown more when they kept going back to Jesus and watching and watching? Now, I'll tell you this. We were talking about this today, too. I'll give you another example of why this is right. If we were printing scripture and we wanted to do it in the most cost-efficient way, the quickest, most labor-efficient way, and probably the best shipping way that we could do it, we'd do it in a manufacturing place. We could have it done. We'd never have to move it. We could do it in bulk. We could ship it out of there. We could probably even print them in China. Might be cheaper. But that's not what God said to do. God said, I want you to take that scripture, and I want you to take it to my churches. Why? Because my way is better than your way, Brian. My way, I understand things you don't understand. I'm going to bring scripture to churches who think I can't go to the mission field. Don't you worry. I'll bring the mission field to you. I can't do anything. I can't be used. Don't you worry. You can fold covers. You can stuff. You can staple. I'm too young. No, you're not. Watch this. My way is better. They get to be obedient to what I want them to do. I give them an opportunity to propagate the gospel when they think that I'm either too old or too young, too locked up in the job, whatever the case is. I want you to pick it up, Brian, put it in a truck and trailer. It's not the most efficient way to do it. Don't worry, I got it. Just go do it. You'll be a blessing, not only to you, but to them. My way, I think it's efficient. God knows more than I do. So be careful. Maybe God's got the better plan. Actually, he does. And when it goes against your plan, just go, okay, Lord, that's what you want to do? I'm in, I'm doing it. So I read down through this, and I ask myself at the end, I got to come up with some different things that I should always read or should always have in Scripture. And that's this. I got spiritual applications. I got a practical application. Practical application is probably going to be more uncomfortable than a spiritual one, hopefully, because then that means I got to grow. And what do I find? I find there's spiritual maturity. I find there's growth. My needs versus seeing the needs of others. I find out that's what the disciples are doing. I find they're willing to be used of God to answer those needs. That's what the disciples show me. That's what God's showing me. I notice that they trusted the Lord will provide and make them able. I notice that when God said, listen, what do you already have? I've already given you the thing you need. You don't even know it yet. And even though you don't think it's good enough, I'm going to take it and make it able. Stick around and watch this. And he does. They didn't understand it. So what does that mean? That means and tells me right off the bat, I got to grow. I was real good with this message right up till there. I got to grow. That means I got to get stretched. I got to learn that church is more than meeting my own needs. That's some maturity. When you start saying things like, well, why don't we put those words up there? And why don't we do this? Or somebody else comes to do that. Now, I'm not telling you to go to a poor pastor and say, we should do this, this, and this. Don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. But if somebody comes to you and says, would you be willing to run the slides? Yeah. Okay. Sometimes I hear people that say, somebody will go, would you just be a door greeter? Oh, no, you don't understand. See, I don't do that well. I don't like talking to big groups of people. I don't do that. I'm really good at one-on-one conversations. Well, what do you think a door greeter does? How are you doing? Glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. Come on in. Here's a track or here's a list for what we're doing tonight, the order of service. I'm glad you're here. Here's some announcements. Here's some stuff. How are you doing? How's the kids doing? How's the job going? What do you need me to pray about for you? You'd be a blessing to the person who walks in the door. Maybe it's their first time. Nobody's even going to talk to me. They don't know me. How are you doing? They get greeted with a smile. You know how many people come into a church and they feel like they're all alone because no one will talk to them? Do you ever just want the Lord just reach out to you and say, you know what, just go around and be pleasant. Talk to people. Talk to them. Let them know that they're glad you're here. Get to know their name. Now, in my case, I was blessed with absent-minded professor's disease, which means I will not remember your name. I will try. You'll have to remind me many times. That's okay. Just keep asking. They want you to know. They want to be felt like that somebody wants them there. Man, you can do that. Or maybe you just don't know what it is that you want to do. And maybe the Lord puts it on your heart. Listen, I want you to grow a little bit. I want you to step out a little bit. I want you to care about your church and own it a little bit. And you go, I don't know what to do. Just go to Pastor, and this is how you do it. I feel like the Lord wants me to help out, Pastor. Is there something I can do for you? There's a list, trust me. There's a list, you know. And you might think, well, that's not what I do. Hey, listen, I didn't want to drive a truck and a trailer, okay? And we talked about this a little earlier, but I had to grow into driving a truck and trailer. The IT guy had to be like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. I'll learn how to back up the trailer. There's a whole story about Florida that's a terrible thing. But nevertheless, I had to grow. I had to be stretched. I had to be willing. I was telling Pastor today, too, we were talking about sometimes it's going on trips. In 2015, I was challenged to go on a trip to Philadelphia and New York. Now, I'm working in IT. I'm making nice money, especially for Ohio. And I thought, really, we're going to go? And then so in a cost-cutting move, in a cost-saving way, we decided that we would stop at sister churches on the way out there. And so the first night, we got to sleep on sleeping bags on a concrete floor. And then the next night, when we got to the church we were staying at, all week we stayed, instead of a hotel, we slept in the Sunday school rooms that were basically the hard floor with that very thin layer of carpet. And all the other experienced guys brought blow-up inflatable beds, and I brought, you know, a sleeping bag. And I forgot my pillow, so I rolled up my second towel. I know. There'll be lessons, trust me. But I thought at first I didn't know if I really wanted to go. I thought, really, we're gonna go sleep on, like, what are we doing? And the Lord said to me, hey, Brian, the 20-year-olds don't have a problem with it. Why do you? Okay, Lord, that one's a little rough. All right, fair enough. I'll go. I got my faith grown that week. We went down in the heart of Philadelphia, and they thought that we're going to do a VBS program. I'm thinking, no one is going to put kids on this bus. They put them on in droves. They're not going to listen. They're inner-city kids. Listen, they were a little more rowdy, but they had a blast. I watched people get saved. I thought I knew something. I worked downtown in Cincinnati. I didn't like going down there. There's too many people. We ended up in New York on a Friday night, and there was a swarm of people. We were literally winding through them. I went on a trip. I got back Monday. I went downtown to Cincinnati. There is nobody here. I got my perspective changed. God grew me. 2016, we went to do a church plant in Memphis. There were many times that God grew me. I watched a bunch of teenagers get in a van that I had previously made the teenagers mad. It's about lightning, and, you know, it was raining, and they're worried about getting struck. And I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter where you are. If the Lord wants to get you, you can be underground. They didn't like that explanation. They were not happy with me. But I got in a van, and they said, well, can you drive? Because they always ask me. And I thought, no, nobody else is going to get in a van with me. I watched teenagers pile in there. We're driving. I'm having a moment of, you know, lack of faith, where I'm saying, Lord, how can I ever do this? And the teenagers start singing for no reason in the back of the van. I'm just a teenager. I can't do anything wrong. All you got to do is be willing to be grown, willing to let the Lord use you. I'm watching the disciples be grown. I'm watching them being used. Is church more about me? When church comes about you coming and being a blessing to somebody else than just about what you get out of it, that's maturity. That's tough. Because it's hard. It means sometimes I got to take ownership. I got to let and serve the Lord to use me in the lives of others for their needs and to be a blessing. That's the same thing. That's what I learn when I read Scripture. And sometimes you think it's just about the miracle. It's not. It's never that simple. And I can take those lessons and I can study that word out and I can watch God grow me. It's the same thing as, why should we go put together Bibles? What difference is it going to make? We're only going to make 40,000. Only problem is, they tell us on average they touch 7 different lives. I'm going to do some quick math. Is that 280,000? You tell me. You check the missionary math, okay? Fair enough. 280,000 lives. You have no idea. How many is that? We were talking about the other day, D.L. Moody, you were preaching on Sunday, wasn't it? One man. One man touched D.L. Moody's life, and a million other people got touched. You have no idea. It's worth the time. It's worth the investment. So, meeting needs. I watched Jesus meet the needs of the disciples. I watched him use the disciples in meeting needs of the others and grow them in the process. Maybe it's time we ask the Lord, how would you have me to meet needs wherever they are, whether it be scripture, whether it be at the church, whether it be whatever you would have me to do, Lord, because this is what your word is teaching me. And I know I need to grow, and I know I need to be willing to do whatever you want me to do. And sometimes that's, hey, Brian, how would you like to move across to California? I don't know how that's going to work. Remember how you asked not to go to Alaska? I did. I did ask that, didn't I? All right, fair enough. So you did, and it's scary. You think you're going to move across the country. But I watched the Lord provide for everything, take care of everything, and I had a list, believe me, and some of them were very hard decisions. And I watched the Lord take care of it. And now I get to drive up and down the joy of I-5. But I get to go to churches. In some places, I've been to Sheridan, Oregon, and it looks like East Ohio, but it's got mountains in the background. I know what those are. Those are soybeans. I know what these things are. And I watch people show up and labor in little kids, and I watch it in this church and a lot of churches. And I get to do that. I could do a lot of things. I could work an IT job. It paid really well. But it's not like this. This will be the best job you ever have, is serving the Lord. Sometimes it might just be in your church and asking, Pastor, what do you need me to do? Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before this day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to learn from your word, Lord. Thank you for your message. I pray that it sticks in our heart, Lord, and may we grow from it. May we be grown. Help us to know what you would have us to do, Lord, even when your way doesn't make sense to us. I pray that you'd help us to have the faith to walk it. Thank you for this church and these people and their love for your word and their love for you. We ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for the message tonight. We're going to take some time to gather around the Word of God and to pray for these Bibles that you got to have a part in handling the Word of God already and assembling them. But now as they're boxed and packaged and ready to go, so I want to ask if you're willing and able to, we're not going to force you to come up here, but if you would like to gather around with your families, and you can come all around the Bibles up here on the platform, so you can come on up. You don't have to be the only one. And if you want to come and gather around, we'll have a few of us pray over the scriptures tonight. If you want to stay in your seats, that's okay. And if you're not comfortable getting up here, you could come to the lower floor, but come up all the way up front and around as you're able to, and we're going to get a chance to pray for these Bibles tonight.